We got to come thou fount of every blessing. Tune my heart to sing thy grace. And that's teaching. When we sang that hymn, we were teaching one another. We were encouraging one another. Come thou fount. God himself is our salvation. He's our power. He's our strength. He's our grace. Tune my heart to sing your grace, to proclaim the truth of it, the realities of the Christian life. Here's my heart. Oh, how does it go? Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. What a wonderful way for God's people to express. It's the filling of His Spirit. It's a manifestation of the filling of His Spirit. That's why we should not only sing, but we should sing from the heart. Because we're teaching one another. We're communicating. We're admonishing and teaching truths of God's Word. Notice that it says to yourselves. It's in-house thing. Think about it. You know, there's the idea of a seeker-friendly church, and I love evangelistic ideas. I'd love to have a Saturday service where you had music and it was evangelistic in its approach. But what we're talking about here in this passage is not evangelistic. It's not seeker-friendly. It is in-house stuff. It's God's people speaking to one another the truths of God's Word, admonishing and teaching through song. And so that's, I recognized it right away. When I first looked at seeker-friendly churches, I said, there's a problem there. Because in a seeker-friendly church, you're singing for the purpose of evangelizing. You're using music for the purpose of evangelizing. Well, that's not biblical. That's not what's supposed to take place in God's house of worship. Now, there's a place for that evangelism. I'd love to have a Saturday night seeker-friendly service where you're bringing people in and sharing the gospel with them and using effective ways, because music is effective in evangelism. But what we're talking about here, this filling of the Holy Spirit and worship of God, involves in-house stuff. You are speaking to yourselves, to each other. In my notes, I realized that I made a little bit of an error there. That your notes should read, speaking to each other. Okay? So that's the idea. You're speaking to each other. Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Okay? Other things, other observations. Right here, we can write our philosophy of music for a church. Okay? I mean, we can take it right out of Scripture. God instructs us. He gives us His Word. It's plural. There are many songs, aren't there? All three of those are plural. Psalms and hymns. It's not one song or it's not a theme song. There's many songs. Many psalms. Many things there. Not only that, but here's something that I get from the I gather from the passage. There's variety in it. Isn't there? If there are psalms and hymns, now I can tell you these words, we don't really know exactly what all they refer to in the type of style of music that they refer to. We're kind of limited to know exactly what they were using back there when Paul was speaking these words to the Ephesians, but we do know that it's variety. There are psalms, there's hymns, there's spiritual songs. So there's bound to be differences there. We wouldn't have mentioned the three. So it's good to have different styles of music. I love to hear the old country gospel. But then I like contemporary music, and I love the hymns. I mean, I just can't think of anything better to sing than Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. And I mean, what tremendous things that we can teach and admonish one another with. A variety of ways of getting the message. And isn't it great when you go home and you carry that message in the melody in your heart and you sing it through the week? That song, man, I really like that song, Be Unto His Name. Man, that's right on target. And I pray that my life will, all of it will be unto His name, the glory of His name. And you know, you take some of those concepts, you meditate on them through the week. Power of music. It's quite astounding. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Okay, so we're looking then at, with music, we're to minister to each other. with music. We minister to each other. A couple of other things here. In these different forms of music, what we do know is that there are words. Okay, so we know that it's a vocal thing. You speak to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. That music is involved. The idea of psalms, there's a very clear indication from the Old Testament that it was with stringed accompaniment. The whole idea of the word indicates that it is a song accompanied by stringed instruments. And I think that the idea is not just a stringed instrument, but it's by instruments as well. But we know that some of the psalms had accompaniment. There was music there with it. The word for hymns is it's poetic material sung to God's praise. That's basically what that word means. So it's kind of poetic, but it's set to music, tune or poetry set to music to praise God. And then the third word there, you know, you got psalms, and that's definitely with stringed instruments, is the word, and spiritual songs there. That word for songs is the word that we get odes from. It's odes, and it's the idea of joy or expressing joy or praise, sometimes with music, and get this, sometimes with dance. Okay, the word was translated in the Septuagint for David dancing when they brought the Ark of the Covenant into the city. And so, man, that breaks all the stuff there. I mean, you have people, they can't have people dancing in the aisles, but there's indication that there was dancing with God's people, with David. In the Old Testament, they expressed worship to God through dance. That's radical. Not only do we have words and music and stringed instruments, varying kinds of instruments, but a variety of different songs and it's spiritual. Okay, they're spiritual songs. That was my point. So it's qualified, isn't it? Psalms and hymns, and it's particularly applies to the last noun there, spiritual songs, but the indication and the reality is being filled with the Spirit, spiritual songs, that leaders, the young ladies that sing here in the morning, they need to come filled with God's Spirit. They don't need to be out doing bad things on Saturday night and coming and playing games on Sunday morning. There's a responsibility. There's a responsibility, Sandy, to being up front and leading in music and participating, Steve and Pat. It means that we need to be walking right with the Lord and leading in a spiritual manner, in a way that we need to as God's people. Leaders should be walking with God. They should be filled with God's Spirit when they come in on Sunday morning. And people in the congregation should be the same. You're not, simply because you're not up front doesn't give you an out for not walking into this place having prayed and confessed your sins and having asked by faith for God's Spirit to fill you, so that when you sing, you're actually singing from the heart and you mean what you're saying. And we do that because that's what worship of God is. Otherwise, we're just playing games. So let's be serious about all of our worship time. And we try to do it the best that we can. We're gonna do the best that we can, the best that we're able to do. But what we can do every Sunday is we can walk in here with the right attitude before the Lord, filled with His Spirit, communicating to one another in love by God's Spirit, admonishing and teaching one another through hymns and psalms and spiritual songs. That's a wonderful admonition from God's Word. But let's go on. Let's look. Let me just give you let's go to the second point here in the latter part of verse 19. It says, singing songs and psalms with your hearts to the Lord is actually my interpretation of that that passage. You're singing songs. I know in many of your Bibles it's saying making melody, but the same word that is used above for psalms is it's a participle that it would be the direct translation of it would be singing songs and psalming. Singing and psalming to the Lord is the way it would actually read. But it reads smoother to say singing songs and psalms. Okay? So it's the idea of singing, but if you said it, the Greek says singing and psalming to the Lord in your hearts. Yeah, yeah. And so it's interesting, but the idea is the psalms are in our heart. And I believe that we don't know for certain, but it seems to me that the Old Testament psalms are probably what he's talking about. We don't know that for certain. It could be other types of psalms and a type of music that he's speaking of. But with music, we're to worship God. Do you notice the contrast here in the first part of the verse? Speaking to yourselves. But here, it's singing and psalming in your hearts to the Lord. This is to the Lord. So part of worship and being filled with the Spirit is that direction. One of the hymns that I love so much is, "Come thou almighty King, help us thy name to sing." I love that because it's like when you stand there and you sing that hymn, you're saying, "Come, be with us." It's an invitation. And it's a realization that, hey, I came here to worship. I came here in a special way, even though God's Spirit indwells me, I came here in a special way to invite Him to be here with a group of people and to experience the realities of God's presence with God's people. So I love that hymn. Come thou, Almighty King. An invitation to God. It's what should happen every Sunday. Every Sunday we walk in this building. And there should be a distinct focused reality that we're coming to encourage one another. We're coming to praise and worship God and be with Him and worship Him in a special way as God's people. And that needs to be our approach. It needs to be the desire of our heart, the passion of our life. And we constantly need to work on it and improve the things that we do so that it's not mechanical. It's not there's an action there. There's an activity on our part. These are present active verbs, participles. So we take action. We psalm. We sing in our hearts or with our hearts. I think it's the instrument of your heart because God wants it flowing from you to Him. He wants it personal. He wants it personal. Don't get lost in the crowd, in a group of people. He personally wants you to be here to worship Him. That's what God wants. He desires that from His people. And it honors Him. So we worship with music. Our praise goes to the Lord. And we know from the Psalms in the Old Testament that praise is to God's person and to His works. We praise God for the things that He does for us. But there are times when we simply just need to praise God for who He is. There's an acknowledgement of His attributes. God, You are sovereign. We used the verse this morning. I love out of Daniel. No one can ward off His hand or say to Him, "What is He doing?" He's sovereign. And so we praise Him. We acknowledge His sovereignty, His greatness. We acknowledge His sovereignty and His greatness in our lives, our personal lives, in the life of this church body, and worshiping Him. Singing it in music is one of the great things that we can do, but it should usher from the heart, should be with the heart. Okay? It's with instruments. Again, the psalming gives the idea of instruments there as well. Worship is an act of the will. There's a decision on your part as to whether you come to church and you're an observer, whether there's activity on your part. Because you can be there and not worship God. Okay, you can sit in the pew and not express from your heart worship to God in a church service. Or you can make a choice that by the filling of God's Spirit, by His empowerment, I will express worship to Him. And it's an act of the will. It's a decision that believers make in their heart and in their lives. There's an expression of affection to God, right? Because that's why it uses heart. God wants your affection. He wants for you to tell Him that you love Him. He wants for us as His people to get together and encourage one another to grow in our affection for God and love for the things of God. That's church. Church the way it's supposed to be. Church the way God intended it. And it's a wonderful thing. Let's look at some quotes here from history. Martin Luther said, "I'm persuaded that after theology, there's no art that can be placed on the level with music. For besides theology, music is the only art capable of affording peace and joy of heart. The devil flees before the sound of music almost as much as before the Word of God." Isn't that awesome? Lori and I were talking about it this week, and our friends, Ed and Cheryl, their daughter fell off of the bridge there at College Station. We have some visitors here from College Station last year and was paralyzed. And Cheryl sang the song. How does the song, Lori? "I'll praise you in the storm." It's a contemporary song. It's on the radio, and that melody came to her heart, and it afforded her peace in times of great turmoil, times when she really needed it. As they went through that process, meditating upon God's Word there helped her. Martin Luther said, "The devil hates music because he cannot endure gaiety. He can't stand to see us happy." Isn't that great? So we come here with joy, and it irritates the devil. Satan can smirk, but he cannot laugh. He can sneer, but he cannot sing. There's other things as well about music. Plato said, "Give me the music of a nation, and I care not who makes its laws. I will control its people." So, you know, we're back to that control word, being filled with the Spirit, being controlled by God. It's related. Music is a wonderful part and place for God's control. And so they need to be spiritual songs, focused and thinking upon things of God. There's but one question of the hour: how to bring the truth of God's Word into vital contact with the minds and hearts of all classes of people. That was William Gladstone. An interesting quote. It wasn't necessarily related to music. But isn't that true? Isn't that true and necessary of God's people and of His church? That when we bring the truth of His Word into vital contact, we're thinking about it. It springs from the affection of our heart and an expression of worship to God. That's powerful. That's being filled with the Spirit of God. That's the means by which God uses to control and bring about unified control and thought and effort from God's people in regard to those things that God wants us to be focused in and on to. Okay, let's move on then. Number two, with the attitude, we're to give thanks to the Lord. Look at verse 20. It says, "Giving thanks to God and the Father always for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." That's a powerful verse. But we're talking about attitude here. We talked about the means of God's grace through the Holy, through music, in which the Holy Spirit fills God's people, fills this church, in which we admonish one another, teach one another, we worship God. Now we're moving to an attitude of the heart, and with our attitude we're to give thanks to God. Thanksgiving is, first of all, it is an attitude. It's also an act of the will. It's expressed here to the Father. We're to give thanks to God and the Father. It is done in the authority of the Son. It's in His name. When it says in the name of the Son, that means in His reputation, in His authority that He has afforded to His people. So it's in the authority of the Son. But notice that it says always. That's a powerful word. That little adverb that slipped in there is rough. The command, the need for being filled and controlled by the Holy Spirit is associated with thanksgiving. And according to God's Word, it says that we're to give thanks always. That's at all times. We're not excused when things go wrong and we want to complain. We're not excused when we get into that session of grumbling about the way these things happen, that we didn't like them, and this or that or one thing or another. There's a focus that our minds we have to train and work on them going to the reality that God is sovereign and that we can give Him thanks for all things, always. And that's what Romans 8:28 says. It says all things work together for good. What does it say? All things work together for good to those that love God and are called according to His purposes. All things. So we give thanks always, and it says, on behalf of all things, or for all things. That's the good and the bad. Job said, shall we accept good and not adversity from God? When God, we studied the life of Joseph today, this morning, when God brought adversity in his life, he could have grumbled and complained. He could have, taken a certain attitude, but he didn't. He trusted God. He trusted the promises of God. He trusted the love of God and the character of God under adverse circumstances. Job, under adverse circumstances, gave thanks. You can give thanks. Did you know that? By the power of Jesus Christ's Spirit in your heart and life, you can give thanks to God in all things, always, at all times, if you believe the promise in Romans 8:28. All things work together for good to those of you that love God and are called according to His purposes. Everything. And so you can look at it. In fact, as a means of grace, I want to suggest this to you. I've said this before. Anxiety is like an alarm clock. And it is a reminder that when we've got pressure over here or something that would cause us to complain or to gripe or to whine about life, that's an alarm clock. And it rings off and it says, go, flee to the sovereignty of God. Flee to the goodness of God. Rest there in Him. And know His goodness by faith. And the realities are that we can know what it means to be filled with the Spirit in those circumstances. We can know contentment like the Apostle Paul, whether it's in prison, writing the very epistle that was written, this letter that we're studying this morning, was written by a man that was rejoicing in prison. Joseph was a man that was imprisoned, sold out, betrayed by his brothers, and yet knew joy, knew what it meant to give thanks to God, and knew what the presence of God, the reality of God in a fallen world, and the power of that can mean. Let's see. One other passage, Job 1:21. Isn't it a wonderful thing that Job was able to testify, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return. The Lord has given and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's worship. That's the real stuff. That's what it means to have the attitude or take the attitude of giving thanks to God. And in closing, and I'm going to pick up with this next time, but we're to have an attitude of submission toward one another. Now what happens is this participle breaks down into three groups of people that are submitting to one another. Husbands and wives relationships. Children and parents' relationship, and slaves and masters' relationships. But there's a call for believers to submit to one another in the fear of the Lord. And that's the final participle that's strung below being filled with the Spirit. So I want to tell you this in closing. There is a direct connection with your submission to the authority that God has placed over your life and the peace that you will have and the realities of the filling of God's Spirit in your life. If you are not in submission to authority that God has placed over you, you will have turmoil in your life. And if you're sitting there in the pew and you're saying, I don't know what's wrong with my life, I just can't seem to get things together, the first thing that you need to look at and ask the question of is, do I have some authority that God has placed over me that I'm in rebellion? Because if I'm in rebellion to that authority, I'm in rebellion to God Himself, according to God's Word. And you will not have peace until you get that right. And we're going to talk about it more next week. Let's pray and close. Father, thank You for Your Word and for this time. Lay these treasures up in our heart. May we walk with You, God. Help us to know the realities of being filled with Your Spirit. Lord, if there's anyone here that has never been born again, when we talked about the indwelling of Your Spirit, when we talked about what it means to be baptized into Christ Jesus, they're not certain. If there's anyone here, it's a simple measure and act of believing that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins and that what He did is sufficient to pay for any sin that stands between us and the God that created us. And so, Lord, if there's anyone here that has not put their trust in You, may they come to saving faith in Jesus Christ. And, Lord, we pray for each believer. May we know the fullness of what it means to be filled with Your Spirit and walking with You. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.